Good morning. This is Sunday, August 4th, 2013. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, but every time I pick up this little black book called The Infinite Way, I find something new. And this morning was no different. In the very first chapter called Putting on Immortality is probably the answer to every problem we've ever had. And so I thought maybe a review is in order. And so let's look at it together, shall we? He starts with a quote from the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, Spirit, or consciousness. In this way, we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather, what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, or Spirit made visible, or consciousness expressed as idea. And so there you have it. There is not a spiritual universe and a material world. Now, we've reviewed and looked at the chapter, The New Horizon, several times, many, many times. And in it, he says that above this sense life is a universe of spirit governed by love. And that gives you, that can give you the feeling that there's two universes, a spiritual universe above this one, or behind this one, or however you want to say it. But still, we can come away with the misperception, the misconception that there's two universes. Yet right here in the very beginning, before we even start our study in this book, he spells it out plainly. We understand there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. Well then, what does that mean in relation to our trying to get a healing of our body? What does that mean when we try to go to God and get a healing of our finances, of our relationships? What does that mean when we try to pull God into this world or practice spiritual principles upon this world? Somehow pull that spiritual influence into my everyday life. Seems like that would be a total waste of time, doesn't it? And yet that's exactly what we do for years and years. Clearly, he says, all the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom, or spiritual life, and the other, a material world, or mortal existence, each separate from the other. Now that is all the error is founded on that belief. And so if in any way we find ourselves in our prayer and meditation attempting to contact that inner realm to produce a change out here in this realm, in this world, then we are operating in error. In spite of this sense of two worlds, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world or spiritual realm and to bring spirit or God to act upon the so-called material existence. And that's completely wrong. So he says, let us, and us is italicized, it means all of us in the infinite way, let us then begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one. Now, I can't tell you the number of emails to start out by saying, I understand that the world is an illusion. And right here he says, we must begin with the understanding that our world is not an illusion, not an erroneous one. Well, let's read the whole paragraph. Let us then begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather that the universe in which we live is the realm of reality about which man entertains a false concept. The work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not then getting rid of or even changing a material mortal universe, but in correcting the finite concept of our existence. All right. Clearly, very plainly, he spells out, you are standing in reality, the realm of reality. Now remember, over in the New Horizon, he says, above the sense life is the universe of spirit. So you could have just as well said behind or below or next to or beyond. Not necessarily above in the sense of you look up and see the sky up there. More in the sense of when you ascend up over the mind, you see clearly. You don't see through the concepts in the mind. That sort of above. So, plainly, he says here, we must begin with the understanding that we're standing in the spiritual realm, right? Is this not what this means? We live in the realm of reality, but we entertain a false concept? So the work, our work then, is not to try to get spiritual principles to act upon these false concepts, because it's never going to happen. Joel, in his wisdom, said plainly, I have told you the real secret of life. God is not with mortals. Take it from there. And so if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, God's not with it. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, those are concepts. Sense perceptions. Concepts. Their sense perceptions turned into concepts in the mind. And that's what you're dealing with. Concepts in the mind. Standing in the spiritual realm, standing in the realm of reality, but not seeing any of it. Praying for some outside force to come in and change these concepts. Only we don't even see them as concepts. We see them as my leg, my finances, my relationship, my friendship, my spouse, my partner, my job. All right, let's continue. When we seek for truth, we start out our search with a problem, perhaps with many problems. And the first years of our search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power, or to the application of spiritual laws or truth to these mortal conditions. The day arrives, however, when we discover that the application of truth to human problems does not work, or does not work as it once did. All right? And if you find yourself there, that's a good place to be. It means you're ready. Remember over here in the New Horizon where he says, be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience. in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. So we must be willing for all of these concepts to disappear out of our experience. And that means a healthy leg or a sick leg. That means abundant finances or lacking finances. That means harmonious human relationships or discordant human relationships. Be willing for the pairs of opposites to disappear in order that you may enjoy the realm of oneness in which you stand. We can see this is an internal work, which is why he says the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a material universe, but correcting or dissolving the finite concept of our existence. So he says, eventually we are led to the great revelation that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God does not create, nor does he control material affairs. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. So he asks you a question. Remember, this is the very first chapter. Seems pretty advanced now, doesn't it? He asks us a question. Are we seeking the things of the Spirit of God for some human purpose? Or are we really endeavoring to put off the mortal in order that we may behold the harmony of the spiritual realm? And there you have it, right there. That's the inner work that we should be doing. Are we seeking the Spirit of God and trying to apply God to our sore foot or to our bad finances or to our unhealthy relationships or to our miserable job? Are we seeking to apply spiritual principles to bring about a change in those things? Well, if we are, then we're not attempting to put off mortality. We're not willing that the good and the bad images be removed, concepts be dissolved, so that we may behold the spiritual real. No, we're still clinging to them and thinking somehow we can have our cake and eat it too. I can hang on to this mortal existence and I can apply God to it. But that's what we did in the very early days, according to Joel. And now we should be at a point where that's no longer working. We should be at a point where we're ready for these difficult talks. So he says, while we strive and struggle and contend with the so-called powers of this world, and we fight and combat sickness and sin or lack, while we're doing that, we're fighting these things, or maybe just trying to apply spiritual principles to them. While the whole time while we're doing that, spiritual sense reveals that my kingdom is not of this world. Now again, that has been misunderstood. My kingdom is not of this world does not mean that there's two worlds, a kingdom and a this world. This world was a name given to sense perceptions formed into mental concepts. There is no this world. It was never made. It was not made. In the beginning, God breathed into existence the Word, which then appeared as flesh. It formed itself. And so you're standing in a divine kingdom, in a heavenly realm, completely and totally unaware of it. You have no awareness of it, because you're entertaining these concepts, walking around in the mind all the time. And so our work, as he says, well, what do you do about these concepts? Are you able to heal yourself? Are you able to break these concepts? What he calls elsewhere breaking the hypnotism? If you are, then you don't need to ever read anything again. You don't need to listen to any talks, and you should probably be teaching, because there are others that would really love to know how you break the hypnotism. Now, if our job is to dissolve these concepts so that we may open our eyes and behold the reality, the realm of reality, you have to ask yourself, how do I break these concepts? Why, they seem to run me. Well, we're going to explain exactly how to do that. Only as we transcend the desire to improve our humanhood do we understand this vital statement. What vital statement? That my kingdom is not of this world. Or you might say the realm of reality has nothing to do with these concepts of human life. When we leave the realm of human betterment, we catch the first glimpse of the meaning of I have overcome the world. Now you see how exactly that ties into the new horizon? Look, listen. When we leave the realm of human betterment, we catch the first glimpse. And over here, he says, in the New Horizon, the first glimpse of reality of the soul realm comes with the recognition and realization of the fact all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation, and of the sons of God who inhabit that spiritual kingdom. All right. Our work is what? Is it practicing spiritual principles to improve humanhood? No. Every time you catch yourself practicing spiritual principles so that you might have a little more supply, or a little better health, or more harmonious relationships, you need to stop right there, because probably it isn't working. That's what we did in the past when we were in the metaphysical part. Now we're moving into the mystical part, where we should be willing to put off mortality, where we should be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of humanhood to disappear. Both. All. So he says, we have not overcome the world while we're seeking to have less of the world's troubles or less of the world's pains and more of the world's pleasures and profits. And if we are still doing that, if we're not overcoming the sense of struggle over worldly affairs, well, then we cannot enter the realm of the real or the realm of heaven or heavenly affairs. And then he quotes this. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he asks, does this sound as if we were becoming ascetic? I mean, doesn't that sound like we're supposed to leave the world and go live in a cave somewhere? Yet now we know that this is an inside job, don't we? Has nothing to do with any changes. Has nothing to do with whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat. Whether you pray in a church with your hat on or your shoes off. Whether you wear a veil or nothing. Whether you bow to the east or the west. Whether you light incense. None of those things have anything to do with it. And that's what he's going to say. Do we appear now to be desiring a life apart from normal, successful walks of life? Do not be deceived. No. Spiritual sense does not remove us from our normal surroundings, and it does not deprive us of the love and companionship necessary to a full life. It places it on a higher level, where it is no longer at the mercy of chance or change or loss, and where the spiritual value of the so-called human scene is made manifest. So you see, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to move to India or Mecca. You don't have to go anywhere. Jerusalem. No, not here, not low here or low there. The kingdom and the realization of the kingdom takes place within you. That's where the concepts are broken, are melted, are dissolved, so that you may see the realm of the real in which you're standing, so that you may have glimpses of the Word made flesh. So, to continue, when you're confronted with any problem, instead of laboring for an improved human picture, turn from the picture and realize the presence of a divine spirit in you. Now, this does not mean, now listen, that you turn from these concepts in the mind to other concepts in the mind and start repeating in your mind, oh, this is not true, this is an illusion, only God is here, only God is here, only God is here. Because then, are you dissolving these concepts? No, you're taking and forming new concepts, spiritual concepts, and putting them on top of these other concepts. It's still all taking place in the mind. And he told us, truth cannot be known with the mind. That's the starting place in the Kailua study. Truth cannot be known with the mind. So, it's something else then, isn't it? When he says, see, he's very tricky here. It takes sometimes years to figure out what he means. And he says here, the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing the mortal material universe, but correcting the finite concept of our existence. Yes, but how do you break the finite concepts so that you may see infinite being? Let me know how you bring that about in the mind. Well, you can't. So, to continue, turn from the picture, he says, and realize the presence of divine spirit. Now, this realize means be still until you come into the awareness, the actual feel of infinite spirit. Because this spirit dissolves the human seeming and reveals spiritual harmony. So, there you go. Your mind can't do it, your body can't do it. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Only spirit can dissolve these human concepts and reveal spiritual harmony. Though to sight this harmony will appear as improved human health or wealth. Yes, when you have the awareness of reality, the concepts dissolve and you see more of reality. Of course, the mind translates that as prosperity or health or harmony. When Jesus fed the multitude, it was his spiritual consciousness of abundance that appeared. See, it was the consciousness of abundance. When he healed the sick, it was his feeling of the presence. So up here we have the consciousness or the conscious awareness of infinite abundance, and down here we have a feeling of the divine presence, which appears as health and strength and harmony. So, he says, we are living in a spiritual universe, but the finite sense has set a picture before us of limitation. While thought is on the pictures before us, that which is called this world, we are engaged in the constant effort to improve or change, well, what? Concepts. As soon as we lift our vision and take thought off what we shall eat or drink or wear, we begin to behold spiritual reality, which appears to us as improved belief, but which is really more appearing of reality. This more appearing reality brings with it joys untold here and now. All right, so our work is an internal work. First, the recognition that we are living in a series of universal concepts in the mind, and recognizing, at least intellectually at first, that we're standing in the realm of reality. We're standing in our true identity. We're standing in infinite being. We're standing in the kingdom of heaven. But entertaining these concepts. So now we know that the work is going within and finding a way to have these concepts broken or have them dissolved. And he spells it out so beautifully in The Art of Spiritual Healing that it just ties in here perfectly. If you want to awaken, this is the way. This is the infinite way. In spiritual healing, whether the claim is named Jones, Brown, or Smith, you know, no matter what the concept, whether the claim is named cancer, tuberculosis, or polio, whether the claim is called unemployment, depression, or unhappy relationships, do not be tricked into treating persons or conditions, because those are concepts and you're trying to improve concepts. No, what do you do? How do you get these concepts dissolved? That's the question. Leave them alone. Get back to a substanceless substance to which you can give any name you like. Alright? So if you look at these and you go, wait a minute, these are concepts, mental concepts, universal concepts, or you can call them universal belief or carnal mind. You can call them hypnotism, mesmerism. He says it can be anything as long as you interpret it as meaning nothing, nothingness, having no substance, no law, and no cause. So if you come up with, okay, these are universal concepts about the kingdom. This concept says it's female and it's 35. This concept says it's male and it's 90, almost dead. This concept says it's dying. This concept says it's being born. This concept says it's abundant. This concept says it's lacking. This concept says it's harmonious. This concept says it's limited. You see? If you like concepts, and you can see that they're universal concepts, universal beliefs, nothingness, then that'll be what you do. You don't try to practice spiritual principles to improve these concepts. You come within. Well, here, he'll explain it right here. It can be anything as long as you interpret it as meaning nothingness. When you really, really begin to comprehend that in healing you are not dealing with people as people, when you learn to eliminate them and their claims from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, which is concepts, carnal mind, nothingness, then you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. And the barrier is the belief in two powers, or a concept of two powers. The barrier is the belief in something apart from God. You can choose the word temptation if you like that too. The minute you have made it a nothingness, you no longer have two powers. And then you can do just what it says in Scripture. Rest in His Word. You can rest in this word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the concepts. It breaks the hypnotism, The Spirit does, not your mind, not your memory of truth, not your reciting truth, not your spiritual concepts, none of that. You have to get out of those concepts. You have the work that we have to do is turn within, recognize these are concepts, nothingness, drop them, stop playing with them or trying to improve them. Just stand stock still. Remember that from the Kai Lewis study series? Stand stock still and wait. He told us that. Remember, do that 12 times a day. Wait. And sooner or later, you will feel an inner movement. He says here, and this is probably the most important paragraph I ever read. For years after, I had learned to recognize all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, and depression are hypnotism. The puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism. It was then that I discovered the scriptural passage. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Our weapon against error or against concepts, the weapon that will break them, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical, mental, no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. You see? Your awareness dissolves mind or concepts. It doesn't dissolve mind, it dissolves mental concepts in the mind. So, standing in spiritual awareness dissolves mental concepts. And then you become aware of, more aware of reality appearing, of the spiritual realm in which you are standing. Again, he says, as you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed of your consciousness while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. Then you will catch a glimpse, there's that word again, a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. You begin to understand. No power does anything to anyone. And you become a beholder as reality begins to appear. All problems will fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet and to behold, to witness divine harmony unfold. Now, one last piece here from, by the way, that's the chapter, What Did Hinder You, from The Art of Spiritual Healing. One last piece from here. He says, the principle behind this process, if you need a principle, here's the principle. The principle is, inasmuch as the activity of human mind is the substance of hypnotism, okay, did you catch that? That's just as plain as you can make it anywhere. The activity of the human mind, the thoughts of the human mind, are the activity of hypnotism. Yes, because they're concepts. We are going to learn to live outside of the activity of the human mind. We are going to live in spiritual awareness. So, the principle behind the process is, inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and the activity of hypnotism, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts or words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. The hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension. So he warns you, do not battle forms of error. Do not try to lop off rheumatism or tuberculosis or cancer. Do not try to lop off old age. Do not try to change the appearance world. Do not try to apply spiritual principles to bring about a change. Get back inside yourself. if with every claim that comes to you, you can set aside any thought of the person or the condition and go back to some word or term to you which means nothingness, so that you have only one power, then you can sit in meditation and you will feel the descent of the Holy Spirit. You will feel the peace which passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence. And this will release you from the concepts. Now, is that not plain? Do we not see our work? Do we see what work we're involved in? How we're putting off mortality and putting on immortality? And in the process, we catch glimpses of the realm of reality. So to continue with putting on mortality, he says, how often do we go on the rocks? How frequently we attempt to understand spiritual wisdom with human intellect? This leads to mental indigestion. We are attempting to digest spiritual food with our educated mentality. It will not work. Now, what that means to me is, well, I have 3 degrees. I have one in computers, one in business management, and one in counseling psychology. Now, with all of that educated mentality, I cannot melt a single concept. Because what I really have is 3 degrees in material concepts. Right? And all of my great thinking, my best thinking, is the problem. We just read that. Human thought is the activity of hypnotism. Ouch. Wow, this is a little bit deeper than I thought, huh? I have to be willing for all of my human concepts, good and bad, to be dissolved, so that my immortal self may stand there in its purity. Truth, he says, is not a reasoning process. That's why when you go within and you say these truths to yourself mentally and you repeat them, nothing happens. Because knowing this truth is not the same as having the spiritual awareness. Spiritual awareness is coming up over knowing the truth to being the truth. Remember? The ascension is always the same, he says in Truth Unveiled and Beyond Words and Thoughts. That of coming up over the mind from knowing the truth to being the truth. Awareness of I is quite different than talking about the presence of God. So our educated mentality will not help us. So in his words, truth is not a reasoning process. Therefore, it must be spiritually discerned. Truth does not appeal to our reason, and when it appears to do so, we must search deeply to see if it really is truth. Be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. And so, if you were to tell a person, or even if you think about it with your educated mentality, all right, I'm standing in a spiritual realm, and I can't see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it. I'm completely blind to it. All I am doing is living up here in the mind in a series of universal concepts, universal beliefs. And I never get outside of it for my entire lifespan. But if I will go within, transcend that, come up over that, or step out of that, or be still about that, eventually, if I practice, like he tells me in the Kalua Study Series, 12 times a day, waiting, eventually I will feel the movement. I will feel the descent of the Holy Spirit, the movement of Spirit across the face of the deep. I will feel the breath. I will hear the word. Something will happen. There will be a movement. And when that happens, the concepts will be dissolved, and I will get glimpses of the reality of the realm of reality, of God-ising, of I. Now, does that sound very reasonable? And when I have those glimpses, something out here will fall away. A pain, a limitation, a lack, a disharmony will be dissolved. And that's all there is to it. Ta-da! Now you tell that to someone at Yale or Harvard, I'm not putting down higher education because I have it myself, and it has, I have benefited from it. I am saying, put this in front of educated mentality of any university, Oxford, any university, and see if they can believe this or accept this. Why, they'll laugh you to scorn. That's what they did to Jesus. She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, eventually he had to put them out of the room. And then what happened? His awareness of reality, it manifested. And it dissolved the concepts of death. And there it was. Eternal life appeared. Eternal life was there before, but he was the only one that could see it. Now, says Joel, Jesus walking on the water, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, healing the sick and raising the dead. Does that sound reasonable to you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If the principle underlying these experiences was understood through reason, all the churches would be teaching them. But this principle is apparent only to spiritual sense. You see, this principle is apparent only in your silence when you feel that movement and the awareness comes to you. That's the only way to be aware. And that's the only way concepts will be broken, or that's the only way to break the hypnotism. What was possible to Christ consciousness then is possible to that same consciousness now. So he says, instead of trying to make spirit operate upon our human bodies and material affairs, let us learn to disregard these pictures, these concepts, and keep our vision on things above. That does not mean mentally affirm or make affirmations. That means step out of that mind and be fed from within. When we come down to earth again, we shall find the discords and limitations have disappeared, and more of reality is appearing. All right. To receive the Word of God, or the awareness which breaks concepts, or spiritual sense, he says we need to feel rather than reason. This is referred to as receiving the Word in the heart. We understand that neither seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, or smelling will reveal spiritual truth or its harmonies. No, they won't. That won't dissolve the concepts. We've tried that. Therefore, it must come through a different faculty, the intuitive faculty, which acts through feeling, through spiritual feeling. Heretofore, we have sat down to pray or to meditate, and immediately a stream of words and thoughts started to flow. Perhaps we began to affirm truth and deny error. You can see that this is in the realm of the human mind. Yes, this is trying to add spiritual concepts to our human concepts, trying to add God to our humanhood. And it does not work. And in the very first chapter, in the very first book, the very first principle he ever revealed to us is exactly the same as what was in the Kai Lewis study series. We must come up over that mind filled with universal concepts, and in the silence, in the non-activity of that mind, spirit reveals the realm of the real. And that awareness, every glimpse of that realm, melts some concepts. In cultivating our spiritual sense, we become receptive to that which comes to us from within. We become hearers of the word, not speakers. We become so attuned to spirit that we feel the divine harmony of being. We feel the actual presence of God. Having transcended the five physical senses and the concepts which are derived from them, Our intuitive faculty is alert, receptive, and responsive to the things of the Spirit. And we begin our new existence as a result of the spiritual rebirth. Now see how he just slides things in there? I mean, listen to that half a sentence. We begin our new existence as a result of the spiritual rebirth. He's telling you right there that the way to be born again of the Spirit is to be born again by stepping out of these universal concepts and allowing that Spirit to motivate, to move, to function through us, as us. That awareness to descend, to flow. Use whatever words you like. It means that Spirit is living us. No longer a mortal, but an immortal is living us. And he tells us right here, this is the rebirth. This is it. This is the thing itself. How? How, Nicodemus says, how do I get born again? And Jesus pretty much tells him, you can't understand. I can't explain it to you. You don't have the spiritual discernment. And Joel says to us, look, this is going to take spiritual discernment. You can't do this with your body. You can't do this with your mind. In fact, you can't do this. It has to happen to you in when you stand stock still. So, he says, heretofore, we have been concerned with the letter of truth, but now only with the Spirit. You see, right from the start, he was trying to tell us the difference. And I thought that it took all the way until 1955 before he revealed the principle in the Kailua Study Series. It turns out in the very first chapter in 1947, he said, here it is, folks. Do this. People read it and they didn't get it. They read it and they thought they still needed to make affirmations and denials. We are not so concerned now with what is truth as with feeling truth. You see, you don't want any new concepts. You don't want spiritual concepts. You don't want an understanding of what truth is so you can go write a book. That won't break the concept or the hypnotism. Or bring about what appears as a healing. No. This is accomplished in proportion as we give less thought to the letter and more receptivity to the feel. This word feel refers to awareness, consciousness, or sense of truth. You see? You see? He said it right from the beginning. You need to have awareness of truth. Awareness dissolves thought. How do you break these concepts? Now, this is the whole work again, remember, right from the very beginning of this chapter. It looks like it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth paragraph in the very first book. The work of bringing health and harmony in our experience is not getting rid of or changing a material universe, but correcting the finite concept, replacing the finite concept with awareness of being. So, says he, spiritual healing is the natural result of a divinely illumined consciousness. We misunderstand immortality, he says, when we think of it as the immortality of the human personality or personal sense. Yes, that's not rebirth into an eternal life. And that's again, see, we thought from the very beginning we did not understand what Joel had experienced. He experienced a transformation. He transitioned out of humanhood into Christhood. And he was trying to explain to us how he did it and how we could go and do likewise. But we came from a completely human point of view and thought, well, okay, I guess he's teaching me spiritual principles so I can fix my human problems. Or he's telling me how I, meaning me the person, can come into my eternal life. Well, me the person has no eternal life. There is no me the person eternal life. These are part of these universal concepts. Me the person is a universal concept, a series of universal concepts. You see, that's why these are the uncomfortable talks. We're coming face to face with the truth. Me, the person, is a series of universal concepts. And that is not eternal. That needs to die, and die as soon as possible. And when that dies, even if just for a moment it dies in meditation, and I find I am not in that, I'm standing still and beholding, I'm witnessing, then this movement of spirit reveals an infinite being right here, right now. And I am one with it, and it is one with me. And I am in it, and it is in me. And it is the I that I am. That is the eternal life. That is the immortal. And so he says, immortality is attained in proportion as personal sense is overcome, whether here or hereafter. As we put off the person or the personal ego and attain the consciousness or the awareness of real self, the reality of us, divine consciousness, then we attain immortality, and that can be achieved here and now. You see, from the very, very first chapter, he told us what we were going to have to do. We were going to have to die to awaken. He says, the desire to perpetuate our false sense of body and wealth ensnares us onto death, or mortality. Now, remember in the New Horizon, where he says that we have to be willing for both the good and the evil to fall away, to come into our spiritual awareness, or the spiritual realm, of the realm where the sons of God are governed by love. And he tells us that doesn't happen, that can't happen, until a large measure of our desire for things of the world has fallen away. Remember? Hold on, we'll find it exactly instead of me trying to paraphrase. Okay. He's talking about glimpsing the realm of the real. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There's no attachment to this world, no desire to hold on to it. Probably because to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. All right? So, back here in Putting on Immortality, when he says the desire to perpetuate our false sense of body and wealth ensnares us into death or mortality, he's saying, if you are standing in those universal series of beliefs or concepts called your human life, and the human lives you see around you, if you're standing in that, well, then you're going to have to die. And you're going to have to experience death again and again and again. But if you're standing in the awareness of the real, of the realm of reality, if you're standing in your spiritual identity and not entertaining these thoughts but receiving impartations from within, then you're standing in your eternal life and you never have to experience death again. Never. So, but that won't come until you're willing to let go of the concepts of good and evil, both. That won't come until you're really, really willing to put off mortality and put on immortality. And now you know what that means, to put off mortality and put on immortality. And now you know what it means when he says, God is not with mortals. Take it from there. I've told you the real secret of life. God is not with mortals. And he did. That's the real secret of life. Every time he sat down to have a meditation and somebody called for a healing, he disregarded the person and the condition entirely. Saw them as concepts and dropped it and stopped taking thought. Stood stock still. Felt the descent of the Holy Spirit. Felt the movement of Christ. And knew that it had been met. the concept in him was dissolved. And then when he opened his eyes again, he saw more of reality appearing. He did what he's suggesting we do. It's not like it's just a theory or a belief. He lived it. And he's saying that we can too. And he says, the first step in the attainment of immortality is living out from the center of our being, as in the idea of unfoldment from within, rather than accretion. It is giving rather than getting, being rather than attaining. And he says, it's not a simple matter to do this, to show forth joy and peace of immortality, because to those intent in preserving their humanhood, immortality would appear to be extinction. But that's not the case. It's the eternal preservation of all that is real, fine, noble, harmonious, gracious, unselfish, and peaceful. It's reality brought to light in place of the illusion of sense or concepts. It's being in the world, but not of it. So that is the principle. That chapter is the principle. My kingdom is not of this world. And now, you know, my kingdom is not a place. And this world is not a world. And my kingdom is an infinite awareness. And this world is a series of mental concepts. And my kingdom is consciousness. And this world is mind, human mind. And my true identity is this spiritual kingdom, this spiritual being, spiritual awareness, spiritual consciousness. And I am that. And me, the human, well, was not made. Yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And it's still the Word today. And you live in the Word and by the Word. And the Word is you. And the Word is I. And there is one Word. And I am that. And there are 7 billion me's. 7 billion humans. And billions that lived before, and billions that will live after this. And yet, not one of them was made by God. God has one Son. And that Son is not of me. Not of the little me. And so, if you've reached a place where these uncomfortable talks are resonating with you, or at least part of them are resonating with you, then perhaps you are ready to lay down your human life, your human sense of life, or your sense of human life, and pick up immortality. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Means now, don't see him as a human. Don't see her as a human. Don't see that as an animal. Don't see that as a plant. But stop. Stop. Turn within, as Joel says. Let that go. No person, no condition. It's a series of universal concepts. Nothingness. Now. Now, Father, reveal the self, the one self, the being, the kingdom. And stand stock still. And, says Joel, if you do this, if you will do this, then the reality of her, of him, of it, will be revealed in you. You will have an experience called Immaculate Conception. The immortal of it, of him, of her, the immortal standing there will be revealed. You will come into the awareness of it. This is the experience known as the Sabbath, where we take no thought, no affirmations, no denials, let go of the concepts and stand still and wait. And the Spirit moves across the water. It really does. It really does reveal. Well, you really do have a glimpse of reality. And the glimpses come closer and closer together. And sometimes you begin to have them with eyes open. You might be driving a car and suddenly a glimpse of the real comes upon you. You have opened your consciousness. You have opened the door. You have invited, with your inner movement, you have invited Christ to come in and sup with you. I stand at the door and knock, and now you have opened it. And it comes. And you might be driving down the road, and suddenly you have a glimpse of the real. Well, it doesn't affect your driving. You continue on. While at the same time, inside yourself, seeing more of reality. You might be sitting at work, working on something diligently, and suddenly there's that movement within. You feel the Spirit come upon you. Says John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You find yourself in the Spirit as an awareness flows into you. Concepts fall away. It happens. It's automatic. The minute you feel it, the second, the nanosecond that you feel that Spirit flowing in, you stop. You stand still. You can't do anything else. And awareness comes. It all happens in a matter of seconds. Those standing around you on the job won't even be aware of what happened. Which is why we can say that you're standing 2 feet apart, but in two entirely different universes. You are standing in the awareness of the kingdom. They're standing in the kingdom too, but entertaining concepts. And, as I say, they come closer together, closer and closer, until they begin happening without your trying to make them happen. They just come upon you. And, according to Joel, it hasn't happened to me entirely yet. But according to Joel, eventually it takes over and lives your life completely, all the time, constantly. And I find that that happens to me maybe an hour at a time, maybe a couple hours. But I still come back to these concepts. And so I'm practicing like you, putting off mortality and putting on immortality. And I'm experiencing it closer and closer together. And I'm experiencing it coming upon me while I'm going about my day-to-day affairs. And so I am thoroughly convinced that it will take over and be a constant conscious awareness of the living reality. And I am inviting you to join me. Now let us be still for a moment. And to sum up one more time, my kingdom is not of these concepts called this world. My kingdom is some other substance, comes from another source, not from the mind, but from consciousness. My kingdom is the Word made flesh, and that happens in a moment you think not. You can be consciously beholding that Word becoming flesh. You can behold God itself appearing. And behold, I make all things new. You can be a witness to that newness, to a new heaven and a new earth. All this Joel told us in the very first chapter, in the very first book, where he put down what he was experiencing and how we may go and do likewise. Thank you. Godspeed on your rebirth, and blessings too many to encompass.